I invite you to turn over to Psalm 126. We'll speak to you on the subject of witnessing to the lost. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. If you would stand with me in honor of God's word. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Let's pray. Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture, we see that you want to send us out to witness to the lost. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage, give us understanding, that we might take the responsibility seriously, that we might share the good news with those who are in danger of hell. Lord, I pray that you would stir up the hearts of those that we will come into contact with, that we might share the gospel with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We all know that we need to witness to our friends and neighbors. But I believe the biggest problem that we have is that most of our friends and neighbors in this part of the country already have a religion. And so whenever we see them, most of them, and I mean just with, I'm painting with a wide brush here, but most of the people that I talk to think they're going to go to heaven because they're good people. And they are good people. And that makes it hard to witness to them. Or you say, well, my neighbor's a good person. They're a good neighbor. They don't hurt people. They're kind. They're gentle. Maybe even Republican, you know. And then we say, they'll probably make it to heaven because they're good people, you know. And that's dangerous because good people go to hell. It's a sad thing for somebody to be caught up in an idea that's going to take them to hell. And we're going to have to deal with the same problem. You see, we have the same issue that they have in thinking they're going to go to heaven because they're good people. When we see our neighbors being good people, we often say, well, you know, they're probably going to make it to heaven because they're good people. But we know that's not the way you get to heaven. And so we have to learn the responsibility to spend the time in prayer and if necessary, tears over these people, that they might see the problem and that they might be saved. The first thing we're going to have to do is start acknowledging some things to ourselves. If we're going to witness successfully to our neighbors who are lost and on the road to hell, we're going to have to acknowledge a few things ourselves. Listen to what he said. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The precious seeds here is the word of God. It's the gospel message that Jesus came into the world to seek and to save the lost. He came to save us sinners. And he does it apart from any goodness that we have to offer to him. And so that is something that we need to be sowing to other people. It's not being good. You can be real good, and I hope that you are real good, but if that's all you got, it's not going to take you to heaven. People who are lost are convicted by the Holy Spirit. Now, understand, they try to deal with that by being good. When the Holy Spirit deals with us and we begin to see that our life doesn't measure up, the first step is to try to measure up. And so a lot of people try to salve their conscience by the good stuff that they do. And that will not take them to heaven, but it salves their conscience. And they have this religion, but folks, all religion does not lead to heaven. You know, I heard people say, well, if they love Jesus, that's all there is to it. You see, faith in Jesus alone is the only kind of faith that will save. Faith in anything else just leads to hell. Now notice here, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 through 23. Listen to what he says here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Notice here two things. Number one, he says that all the people that name Christianity as their religion are not going to heaven. We need to acknowledge that. Not all of our neighbors who are good people are on their road to heaven. And we need to accept that. And don't mark them off your list of somebody to talk to about Jesus. I grant you, it's hard to talk to somebody who thinks they're on the road to heaven. First thing, you got to get them lost before you get them saved. And that's hard to do. But I want you to know the Holy Spirit is working. The same thing that he says to us here. When he says, understand, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. And he makes it clear what the will of the Father is. He said, whoever sees the Son, believes on him, shall have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. That's the will of the Father. Now, he's telling us that. But he's telling them that too. Nobody will ever feel secure in their salvation who's trying to work their way to heaven by being good. They'll never feel secure. They'll be convicted all the time because just like us, they're going to struggle. They're going to sin. And when they do, they're going to feel like they've lost their salvation or whatever because it's based on being good. And so they're convicted. We need to know that. But they're also confused. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6 says this. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Understand, he makes it clear that it is not by works, but people are confused. Almost everybody that I talk to believes you get to heaven by being good. That's scary. Jesus said, the way that leads to destruction is very broad, and many there be that go in thereat. Because the way that leads to heaven is very straight, very narrow. And few there be that find it. Well, that way is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. And so that is the narrow way. The broad way is everything else. But people are confused by that. I mean, it just makes sense. But the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ends are other ways of death. Well, what is that way? If sin's the problem, then if you want to go to heaven, you need to quit sinning. That's the way that seems right. It just makes sense. Sin's the problem. Sin's going to send me to hell. I need to quit sinning. If I quit sinning, I go to heaven. Not the way it works. We have to be forgiven for our sins. And we have to have Jesus save us apart from any merit of our own. And so that confusion is what locks people in. So they have a religion, but no salvation. Religion will not save. And you see, we're going to have to acknowledge the fact that they are confused. We're going to have to accept that so that whenever we talk to them, we don't get caught up in the same ideology that they have that, oh, we're good people. There's more good in our life than there is bad. And we see them and we know they are good people. And so that mindset can trap us just like it traps them. And that confusion causes people to stay lost. And it causes us to stay away from them and with our witnesses so that we do not offend them. Nobody wants to offend a good neighbor. And it is offensive to people for you to tell them what you're counting on is not going to take you to heaven. That's offensive to people. But it needs to be said. Because it's true. What they're counting on is not going to take them to heaven. And you know, one thing I don't want to do, I don't want to stand and watch people that I have had opportunity to know, good people, religious people, People who have a lot of good in their life be thrown into hell because the Lord says, I never knew you. And then they're going to look at me and say, why didn't you tell me that? Why didn't you let me know that? And all I can say is, well, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. I don't think that's going to make them feel any better at all. You see, the truth is, they're condemned. They have been condemned from the beginning of their sin. Listen to what John 3, 17 and 18 says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, understand that our mission field, if we acknowledge these truths, becomes very much bigger. We have family members who are lost. We have neighbors who are lost. We have strangers who are lost. People that we run into all over the place, most of them are lost. Good people, though they may be, they're still lost. And we have an obligation to tell them the good news. We have to accept that. Now notice, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. If we are serious enough to pray for the lost, to ask God to convict them and give us opportunity to witness to them, he will do that. That's what it means to sow in tears. We'll reap in joy when they receive Christ as their Savior. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The Lord says, make friends with the mammon of unrighteousness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What he's talking about there is use whatever God gives you, whatever talents, whatever monies, whatever you have, use that to reach people with the gospel message, so that when you die, they'll be standing there at the gates of heaven to welcome you into heaven. And we don't want to go to heaven with nobody there to welcome us because we were afraid of hurting people's feelings. We have to accept responsibility. Romans 1:14 says this, I am debtor. Now, don't miss that word. I am debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. He's talking about the gospel message. You see, those of us who have learned the truth and have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ are debtor to all those who do not know the truth. We have a tremendous responsibility to go and tell them. If it hurts their feelings, if it alienates them, and be gentle. You know, I'm not talking about just blasting your neighbors. I'm talking about in love, bathed with a lot of prayer before you go. Tell them the truth so that they can find their way to heaven. Whenever we talk to somebody, we ask them, what do you think it takes to get into heaven? And they tell you, well, there's more good in my life than there is bad. That's about 99% of the time. Then you know they're lost. That's not what gets you to heaven. And so you have to then gently show them the truth. I remember one fellow told me that, and I said, you know, if you have more good in your life than bad, that's like if you're going to come over to my house for breakfast and I'm going to cook an omelet, and I break out 5 eggs and they're all good, and then I get the last one, it's rotten. And I say, well, there's more good in there than there is bad. And I go ahead and put that rotten one up in there. What's that do to the omelet? He said, well, that messed the whole thing up. I said, well, that's what happens to the bad in your life. Mess the whole thing up. You see, we can't be perfect. If you can be perfect, now, you can get into heaven on perfect. But by the time we figure out we want to try to be perfect, we done messed up.
So what we have to have is a Savior. And Jesus is the Savior. He came into the world to save us sinners because we couldn't save ourselves. So we accept that responsibility. It is not all right not to go and tell. We must tell our friends and our neighbors, our family members about Jesus. We have to understand the requirements, and we accept the requirements. The requirements are not what we think they are, and the world does not understand the requirements like we have to understand and accept the requirements. Listen to what John 5:24 says. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. It is totally apart from any works whatsoever. It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me tell you where that faith comes from. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear the gospel message, the Holy Spirit creates faith through the hearing of the Word in your heart, so that if you will exercise that faith, you can be saved at that moment. That faith is what saves. It is not your goodness. It is not promising to be good. You know, I made that mistake for a long time. Lord, if you'll forgive me one more time, I promise I'm through with this sin stuff. I'm going to do right from now on. Well, that's a bald-faced lie. I meant it, but I couldn't do it. We have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. There's nothing I can do about that. Please forgive me, save me. That's all there is to it. It's simple. If it's not simple, it doesn't work. So we accept the requirements. And then we have to accept the fact that repentance is required. Have to turn away from what we were trusting to the new. This is the hard part. Listen to what he says here. Matthew 13:45-46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now understand, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews that we have to repent from dead works and put our faith in God. Now the dead works are represented in this parable by the Lord Jesus Christ as the goodly pearls. That's the good stuff that we were counting on to get us to heaven. That's what we have to repent of. We have to repent of our dependence and our faith in our good stuff and turn all of our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord's blood is not enough to save us, we have to go to hell because there is nothing else that we can trust. And so whenever we liquidate all of our faith in everything else and put all of our faith in Jesus Christ, that is salvation. That is repentance from what we were trusting and faith in what can save. And so we have to accept all of that. It's the only way to get to heaven. You can't have Jesus plus all the other goodly pearls, all of your other stuff, because you don't have enough faith to believe in Jesus and other things. And so we have to accept that. As witnesses, we have to understand that God requires that repentance. A whole lot of people want to just add Jesus to what they already have. That won't work. So we have to repent from that. Then I want you to see that it is required for us, if we're going to be soul winners and witness for Jesus, we've got to act. We can't just sit back. We start by praying for the lost. Target praying is real important. If you know somebody that the Lord has spoke to your heart and said, that person needs to be saved. It's somebody in your family, somebody in your acquaintance, your neighbor, whatever. The Lord lays that person on your heart. That's your target. And so you begin to pray for that person. And you pray earnestly that the Lord will convict them that what they're trusting in is not going to take them to heaven. That's the way we pray for that. You see, the Holy Spirit's already working, but if we begin to just really pray that the Holy Spirit will show them that what they're trusting is not going to take them to heaven. Now, what usually happens whenever we pray that prayer, is that person begins to struggle with sin. And they begin to see that they cannot do this. And they're saying, boy, if my philosophy of life is right, I'm going to hell. And so then they begin to be open to hear something, and then the Lord will nudge you. This is the way it works. You're praying for that person. You're saying, Lord, help them to understand what they're trusting is not going to take them to heaven, that they're on the road to hell. And then one day, when the heart is right in that person, the Lord will say, now you need to share the gospel with them. And it's not going to be an audible voice. It'll be very loud. You'll hear it, but it'll be in the heart. And you'll know you need to witness that person. Well, know this, that when he says that, their heart's ready for it. And then you can share the good news with them. But it takes courage to do that. You don't want to hurt your friend. You don't want to make them upset with you or even hurt their feelings, because we love our friends and our neighbors. We want to try to be good to them like they're good to us. But one of the best things you can do for a lost neighbor is lead them to Christ. Amen? And that takes some courage. When we just understand that God is dealing with the inside, then we're ready to deal with the outside. Now, the Bible says that we need to shine. The first thing that is really important in our lives, if we're going to be successful as a witness, is to shine. Listen to what he says here. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think sometimes we misunderstand this passage. How do we shine? Well, you say, well, you just are living such a good life that you just glow. That's not it. Notice who gets the glory. You do that, you get the glory. He says, let your light so shine. Now, there's a condition there. It has to shine in such a way that men see your good works, but they glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Part of shining is deflecting the glory to Jesus. You see, if all they see is a good person, then they will want to be like you. You can be like me and go to hell. That won't save you. But if they say, I know this person. This person, they don't walk on water. This person is not perfect. This person is just like we are, very human. And so if I see good in this person, it must be Jesus. Whenever we understand that and we pass that glory to Jesus, then they will glorify the Father who has enabled us to live a good, clean life. Because that's the way it happens, folks. You are not good in and of yourself. Jesus is good. We reflect Jesus to the world. Whenever Jesus is shining forth through us, make sure Jesus gets the glory. And that is a part of shining. Then we're to show. And this kind of follows along the same idea. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in an earthen vessel, that the excellency of the power might be of God, not of us. You see, there again, the shining is important, but the glory goes to God. Because he's the only one that can shine. You see, his light shines through us. We're just earthen vessels. We have nothing more than any other person on this planet. The lowest sinner or the cleanest sinner, whatever, we're all the same. And Jesus is the difference. And so part of shining the light to the lost is let them know you're human. And that's not hard to do. If they're around you very long, they're going to know you're human. But the light is Jesus. Jesus makes the difference. And what he's done for me, he can do for you. See, that's letting Jesus shine through us. And then we have to share. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now let's take this apart. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can you say that? That you're not ashamed of the gospel. That's what the devil tries to make us do, is be ashamed of the gospel. So we don't want to talk about the gospel. We don't want to let anybody know anything about us. We want to be very private with our faith. But God wants us to overcome that and be courageous to share the good news with people. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, it is the power. The word there is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. The gospel message is the power of God unto salvation. I have seen the gospel power work on people. I've been talking to people that were joking and laughing and everything was just going fine, and start talking about Jesus, and they come under this tremendous conviction. It's not what you're saying, it's the Holy Spirit working through the gospel message that convicts people mightily. And that's the reason you can see somebody that looks like they're just happy-go-lucky, nothing going on. The Lord says, witness to that person, there's something going on in that heart. And so whenever you say, do you have peace in your heart if you were to die, you go to heaven? The countenance changes just like that. Because the gospel message begins to get a hold of them. And a lot of times when God says to witness to somebody, he's already been talking to them, and they've already been talking to him, and they're trying to figure out what to do, and they're just waiting for somebody to come along and tell them, and God says, you go and tell them. And whenever you do, they are ready to respond. People need the Lord, folks. They really do. And if we can get the message to them at the right time, then they will consider it because the Holy Spirit's dealing with them. I've had times when the Lord said witness to somebody and I just didn't want to take the time to do it, didn't want to be bothered with it. And the Lord just said, you go back in there, you do it. And I've gone back in there thinking this is a waste of time. This person's not going to listen to me. And then find out when I start talking to them that they were praying. One guy said, I was just sitting here praying. If there really is a God, send somebody to tell me how to be saved. Wouldn't it be sad if I had missed that opportunity? And one day, at the great white throne judgment, watch that man go to hell. And the Lord say, you know, I told you to witness to him. And you didn't do it. If you witnessed to him, he'd be in heaven instead of hell. That'd be hard to live with, wouldn't it? But you know what? That happens a lot, doesn't it? We see people, God says, you know, that person's on the road to hell. You need to talk to them. And if we hide our head in the sand and we walk away, one day we're going to have to face that person at the great white throne. We have a responsibility, folks. The devil is alive and well. He's trying everything he can to keep us from talking to people about Jesus. You know, it happens all the time. People everywhere thousands of people that you'll see tomorrow are lost. When the Lord points somebody out, tell them about Jesus. I was putting windows in a home up in Memphis, and one of the windows went into this young man, about 20-year-old, in his bedroom, and his mama said, "Show him where that window is." So we walked into that room, and the Lord said, "Witness to him." So I turned around and I said, "Do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die, you go to heaven?" He said, "No, sir." I said, "Well, would you like to have that peace?" He said, "Yes, sir." About 10 minutes, he prayed right there and received Christ as his Savior. It's as easy as it can be. We just have to listen to what Jesus says. And as we do, Jesus will give you more and more and more opportunities. Let me challenge you to do something. Ask Jesus, "Who should I start praying for right now that they will be saved?" And then you pray for that person until God says, "Go witness to them." It may be a week, it may be a day, maybe this afternoon. You see, if God points somebody out to you, he may already be working on them. You want to go talk to somebody? I got somebody, just like that. And so, start praying, and when God says go witness to them, you go witness to them and just share the gospel. Now, let me tell you, there's nothing hard about it. If somebody walked up to you, let me show you what I'm talking about. Somebody walked up to you on the street tomorrow and said, "Hey, wait a minute, are you a Christian?" And you say, "Yeah, I am, matter of fact." "Well, I'm not. Could you tell me how to be saved?" There's not a person sitting in this auditorium this morning that couldn't tell them how to be saved. Because it's not rocket science. All they need to do is acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for their sins, that he was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead for their justification, and if they will put their trust in what he did as enough to save them, he'll save them. Confessing their sins and confessing that they have been trusting in everything else in the world except Jesus, and now they want to repent of that, put their trust in Jesus Christ. That's all there is to it. The best way to approach somebody is to ask them permission to ask them a couple of questions about their spiritual condition. Here's what I mean. Let's say that the Lord nudges you to witness to somebody. You just turn to them and you say, "Could I ask you a couple of questions about your spiritual condition?" I've never had anybody ever say no to that. "Okay. That's what you say. Sure." And I say, "Well, do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die, you'd go to heaven." Everybody, almost without exception, says, "I think so. Yeah, I believe I'll go to heaven." If you stop there, they're still on the road to hell. You say, "Well, let me ask you another question. Suppose you were to die, and God said, why should I let you come into heaven? What would you tell him?" That's where you get the wrong answer. "Well, I believe there's more good in my life than there is bad, and I think God let me in heaven." That's the answer I get 99% of the time. And I used to wonder. They must have had some conference somewhere and told everybody to say that, But what it is, the Bible says there's a way that seems right. And if you think about it, it does. Sin's the problem. Sin's going to send you to hell. If you want to go to heaven, quit sinning. And so they say, "Well, I can't quit sinning." So then we have to lower the standard just a little bit. And we say, "Well, I can't completely quit, but maybe if I have more good in my life than I do bad, maybe that'll do it." See, and so that's where everybody just seems to matriculate down to that philosophy, and that's where the world is. And so that's going to be the answer they give you. Now, you don't say, "Wrong!" "Wrong answer!" What I have started doing, because I realized that's where I was at one time. I say, "I used to believe that." And then I give them my omelet illustration. And I say, "God says that no sin is going to enter into heaven. If there's any sin in your life whatsoever, you're going to go to hell when you die." And then they'll say, "Well, I got some sin in my life." So here's the solution. Now they're ready to hear it. See? And then I just explained to them, Jesus died on the cross. And when he was on the cross, God the Father took all the sins of all mankind, put them on Jesus on the cross, and then he poured out his wrath that would have been mine and yours throughout all eternity. It's 3 hours on the cross. He just intensified it. So much so that the Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the Bible says that when all of that was satisfied, Jesus said, it's finished. It's painful. And now he offers to us salvation as a free gift. And we trust him and him alone. And he saves us by his grace. Whenever we share the good news, it's up to them to choose. You can't save anybody. I used to think, well, if I just was a little more eloquent or a little this, a little that. It's not. It's the gospel. See, it's the gospel message. And God illustrated that to me when I was going through an evangelism class. I had these note cards and I was memorizing them, and so I could spill them off, you know, when I was talking to somebody. And we were remodeling a store over on Rains and 61 Highway. And I had picked up this little guy who was helping me, and I had witnessed to him. He said he was a Baptist, and I accepted that. And so we're working along, and his name was Vince. And I said, Vince, take these cards, and while we're driving to this place to get some lumber or something, I said, I'm going to start trying to tell you what those cards say, and if I mess up, you make me go back. He said, okay, I got you. So I started through there. He'd say, no, you messed up. And he'd read it to me. I said, okay, so I'd do it again. He said, okay, you got that one. Go to the next card. No, you didn't get that right. He'd read it to me, and I'd give it back to him. We get down to almost the last card. There was a question on there. You said, you're supposed to ask, does this make sense to you? So I said, okay, let's see. Does this make sense to you? He said, you know it does. I said, what? He said, I've never heard this before in my life. He said, I've been in church for years. He said, I've never heard about Jesus just saving people. He said, I thought you just had to live a good life and that got you into heaven. And I said, well, would you like to receive the free gift of eternal life? And he said, I think I need to. So we pulled her on the side of the road. He got saved. And I'm going to tell you, that was anything but eloquent. I mean, he was telling me what to say to him, and the Holy Spirit was convicting the whole time. I was on the radio station, and the guy that relieved me on the night shift came in, and he was getting all his records ready, and I was putting my stuff up, and the Lord said, witness to him. Now, he's a minister of music in his church. I said, I can't witness to a minister of music. The Lord said, don't you leave this place till you witness to him. So I said, can I ask you a question? He said, sure. I said, do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die, you'd go to heaven. He said, oh, yeah. He said, I'm a minister of music in my church. I've been doing this for years. I said, suppose you were to die, and you found yourself standing there before God. He said, why should I let you into heaven? He said, well, man, I'm a minister of music. I've been leading music in my church. He said, I teach Sunday school. That ought to get me in. I said, put on a long play album. We're going to talk. So he put on this long play album. And I started sharing the gospel with him. He said, I've never heard that before in my life. And I thought, how did you miss this? But he missed it. And about third song in, he received Christ as his Savior. Folks, people need the Lord. I don't care how good they are. I don't care how bad they are. They need Jesus. And we have a responsibility to tell them. I think we have to start at home. Make sure everybody at home on the road to heaven. Don't assume that your children believe like you do. Make sure they do. Don't assume that your brothers and sisters believe like you do. Make sure they do. And then beyond that, ask Jesus who to talk to. You know, there's enough people right here that if we can get somebody to stand in front of us and listen, we could reach a lot of people this next week. Let me tell you, here's the prayer. You say, Lord, I want to be a witness. I don't know enough to really feel confident to be a witness, but I want to be a witness. Bring somebody to my mind that I can start praying for and hold them up before you until they're ready to be witnessed to. Then you tell me, and I'll go and talk to them. Make that commitment and see what God does. If you're here this morning and you know in your heart that your faith is not in Jesus and Him alone. One fellow said, I believe Jesus saved, but you've got to live right to get to heaven. That won't get you in heaven. Your salvation is real important to me. And if you don't have absolute assurance, then you're trusting something besides Jesus because He is absolutely sure. You see, the reason you can have absolute assurance is where your faith is. You know, I'm not asking you, are you absolutely sure you live good enough to get to heaven? Because you don't. Are you absolutely sure you deserve to go to heaven? You don't. What I'm asking you are you absolutely sure that Jesus can save you and keep you eternally saved? If you don't believe that this morning, then I want to encourage you to believe that because it's truth. And He will save you just like that if you put your trust in Him. Let's stand with the Lord in prayer.